Dead Tomorrow by Peter James. Read by William Gaminara. Susan hated the motorbike. She used to tell Nat that bikes were lethal, that riding a motorcycle was the most dangerous thing in the world. Nat liked to wind her up by telling her that actually, statistically, your kitchen was the place where you were most likely to die. He saw it for himself every day of his working life as a senior hospital registrar. People regularly electrocuted themselves, sticking forks into toasters, or choked, or got food poisoning. Bikes weren't dangerous, not even ones like his monster red Honda Fireblade, he liked to tell her. It was other road users who were the problem. You just had to watch out for them, that was all. He had read somewhere that when a man marries a woman, he hopes she will stay the same forever. But when a woman marries a man, her agenda is to change him. Well, Susan Cooper was doing that okay, using the most devastating weapon in a woman's arsenal. She was 6 months pregnant. And sure, he was proud as hell, and ruefully aware that the Fireblade was going to have to be replaced by some kind of estate car or people carrier. And how much fun was that going to be? He kissed Susan and patted the bump goodbye. "Ride carefully," she said. "What do you think I'm going to do, ride dangerously?" he thought, but did not say. Instead, he said, "I love you." "Love you too. Call me." Nat kissed her again, then tugged on his helmet and his leather gloves and stepped outside into the frosty morning. Dr. Ross Hunter was one of the few constants in Lynn Beckett's life. In fact, she'd be hard-pushed to name any other constants at all, apart from failure. That was definitely a constant. She could fail for England. Her life had been a 37-year-long trail of disasters. She'd barely slept a wink since getting the phone call from Dr. Hunter's secretary yesterday afternoon, asking her to come in first thing in the morning on her own. Was it about the blood test she'd had last week? Or about Caitlin? It was shortly after her 9th birthday that Caitlin had first been diagnosed with liver disease, and it felt like the two of them had been in a long, dark tunnel ever since. The never-ending visits to the specialists, the tests, the hospitalizations here in Sussex, and one of almost a year in the liver unit of the Royal South London Hospital. Caitlin had endured operations to insert stents in her bile ducts, then operations to remove stents, endless transfusions. She'd been so low on energy from her illness that she would regularly fall asleep in class, unable to play her beloved saxophone because she found it hard to breathe, and getting more angry and rebellious, demanding to know, "Why me?" The question Lynn was unable to answer. Once, at 13, Caitlin had had to have her stomach pumped after stealing a bottle of vodka from the drinks cabinet. Another time, at 14, she fell off a roof, stoned on hash. On each occasion, Dr. Hunter came to the hospital and stayed with Caitlin until he knew she was out of danger. That was the kind of man he was. And now the door was opening, and he was coming in. "Lynn," he said, his voice oddly subdued. "Come on in." Malcolm Beckett could smell the sea getting closer as his 30-year-old blue MGB GT halted at the traffic lights to the slip road. It was like a drug, as if the salt of the oceans was in his veins, and after any absence he needed his fix. Since his late teens, when he joined the Royal Navy as a trainee engineer, he had spent his entire career at sea. 10 years in the Royal Navy, and then 21 years in the Merchant Navy. Today was the end of his 3-week shore leave and the start of 3 weeks back at sea on the Arco D, where he was chief engineer. It was a fine morning, crisp blue sky, the sea flat as a millpond. "Are you going to miss me?" Jane asked. He gave her a squeeze and kissed her. "Madly. I miss you every second I'm away from you." As the lights turned to green, she crunched the gear lever into first and accelerated down the incline. "It's really hard to compete against a ship," she said. "What have you got on in the next 3 weeks?" he asked. "Gemma's nativity play, which you'll just miss, and Amy breaks up in a fortnight. I'll have her moping.